Our scripture today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Unity in the Body of Christ. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore, is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report of him spread through all the surrounding region. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
I trust that you all are having a relaxing and renewing summertime for yourselves and with your families. Taking a break is always good for your body and soul. Even though we had bye-bye summer yesterday, the summer is not over yet. Again, thank you for all being here in worship. May God fill your heart and mind with the Holy Spirit so that you can draw God's strength and joy this morning. Amen. Last Sunday, and during the week, two church members shared with me two different jokes. So I'd like to share with you one of them now, and I'm saving the other one for next time. Consider this is a summer special. Here you go. An elderly woman walked into the local country church. The friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the flight of steps. "Where would you like to sit, ma'am?" he asked politely. "The front row, please," she answered. "You really don't want to do that," the usher said and whispered to her ear. "The pastor is really boring." The woman said, Do you happen to know who I am? No, ma'am, he said. The pastor's mother. She replied indignantly. After a pause, he asked, Do you know who I am? No, she said. Good, he said, and left in a hurry. During last Sunday worship, I noticed that many of you were sitting in the pews closer to the front, if you can remember that. So I thought to myself, oh, thank God, my sermon must not be boring. Well, thank you, everyone, for sitting closer. I mean, you are all loved. No offense to those sitting in the back. This is God's house, and you are loved. You are blessed. And thank you for being here. And thank you for listening to my sermon attentively. I know some of you even watch my sermon on Facebook again at home. Some of you even ask for a copy of my sermon manuscript, saying that my sermon is good. Praise God. I am always happy to send you a copy of my sermon manuscript with the PowerPoint slide, everything right on the screen, if you ask me at any time. It shows that you are truly engaging in your spiritual growth. I really appreciate your sincere endeavors in your faith journey. Throughout my sermon series, finally, we have shared all five marks of a Methodist based on John Wesley. Mark number one, a Methodist loves God. Mark number two, a Methodist rejoices in God. Mark number three, a Methodist gives thanks. Mark number four, Methodist prays constantly. And Mark number five, a Methodist loves others. All these are good, but notice that these are not strictly or exclusively the marks of a Methodist. Rather, they are the basic and essential qualities of life that any follower of Christ or any disciple of Christ should exhibit. So, simply put, all these five marks reflect and strengthen our relationships with God and with others. And both relationships are deeply rooted in God's love. And as you are aware, these five marks of a Methodist are not about doctrines, dogma, or theology, but about simple and practical applications of our love for God and for ourselves and for our neighbors and everyone else. Thus, as we are wrapping up these five marks, we realize and learn that it is a new beginning for us to embark together. That's why my sermon title this morning is On Your Marks, a Conclusion and a New Beginning. It is generally known that the phrase On Your Marks is the command given to runners at the beginning of a race in order to get them into the correct position to start. You might be familiar with these well-known commands at a running or a swimming race. On your marks, get set, go. So having heard, having learned the five marks of a Methodist, we are now at a new beginning stage of the journey together, reminding ourselves the mission statement of Jesus. Being his faithful disciples, we are also called to follow Jesus' mission on this earth. The Gospel of Luke passage this morning includes Jesus' mission statement that is based on Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As you know, the name Jesus means the Lord saves, or Yahweh is salvation. It reflects the belief that Jesus' primary role is to save people from their sins. According to the Gospel of Matthew, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." However, Jesus' ultimate and more important role is to love us, teach us, and show us how to love God and love others. And his ministry focus is to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed. Yes, Jesus came to proclaim God's inclusive love, graciousness, and blessings upon everyone, especially those who are weak, powerless, voiceless, vulnerable, isolated, and oppressed. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth, in our heart, in our midst, and in our relationships, in our society, and in our whole world. Jesus' message is love, justice, and peace. And these five marks of a Methodist are indeed practical and tangible ways of practicing Jesus' message of love, justice, and peace. And this message of Jesus resonate among the entire population of the world, like over 8 billion people who pursue the same message of love, justice, and peace in the whole world. Have you ever read this popular book entitled All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, written by Robert Fulghum? Even though this book was first published in 1986, it became one of the number one New York Times bestsellers for a long time and sold over 7 million copies in over 103 countries and over 37 languages. So, after nearly 40 years, now this book is still self-promoting as the classic international bestseller. Anyhow, the author, Robert Fulghum, born 1937, an American author and a Unitarian Universalist minister, lists lessons normally learned in American kindergarten classrooms and explains how the world would be improved if adults adhered to the same basic rules as children. For example, share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that are not yours. Don't be rude or mean. Say you are sorry when you hurt somebody, and many more. Yes, we all learned everything we need to know how to live and how to love in kindergarten. I believe all these basic examples can be summarized into three words: respect, responsibility, and empathy. And the author writes, quote, "Think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock every afternoon and then lay down with our blankets for a nap. Or if all governments had a basic policy to always put things back where they found them and to clean up their own mess." And it is still true, no matter how old you are, where you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together, unquote. So true, so meaningful, and so relevant words for today, after 40 years still, same. Yes, being the body of Christ, we are called to back to the basics so that we can be truly one body and one spirit. Just as it is written in Ephesians. Apostle Paul, in this morning's Ephesians passage, emphasizes these basics for unity in the body of Christ. Verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Steve Harper, in his book, Five Marks of a Methodist, The Fruit of a Living Faith, writes about oneness from the same Ephesians text. Quote, "This kind of oneness is at the heart of the gospel, and it must be the leading edge of our life together and of our mission in the world," unquote. Therefore, congratulations to all of you for the completion of listening to my sermon series, Five Marks of a Methodist. Now, we are beginning a new faith journey together with these five marks in our hearts and in our lives. On your marks, get everybody says, go. Thanks be to God. Amen.